The Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder, why do Christians need to insist upon one God? Why can't there be many gods? Well, my friend, there's nothing wrong with the idea of multiple gods as a concept. It's just that that's not the way things happen to be. It's not the reality of the situation. If we happened to live in a universe created by many gods, that would have been fine. But we don't. Instead, we exist in a universe brought about by one God. This is the teaching of the Bible. On our program, we've often verified the validity of the Bible and will continue to do so on future programs. But for now, nobody is saying that polytheism doesn't sound good. We are merely saying that regardless of how it sounds, only one God exists. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show, our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. Today will be a pop culture edition with a special guest, an artist whom I recently collaborated with. I'll introduce him in just a few minutes. As you know, several years ago, I published a novel called The Dangerous Christmas Ornament. You've heard about it in our commercials. We are actually going to discuss my novel in greater detail today. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. I know what you're thinking. This sounds like a shameless plug. Well, I can certainly understand where you're coming from, so let me explain. It is a shameless plug. Who are we kidding? But the book has its fair share of objective plugs. For several years now, The Dangerous Christmas Ornament has received wonderful comments from children and adults of all ages. I wrote it primarily as an entertaining fantasy adventure. I did not want to limit the audience to Christians. The story was written in such a way that unreligious people would enjoy it too. Yes, the book emphasizes values and life choices from the point of view of a 12-year-old. And yes, God is woven in and out of the story in a subtle way, but there is nothing overtly evangelistic. However, since then, some Christian teachers and youth pastors have found ways to incorporate this book into lessons that can be drawn from the Bible in that vein. In order to assist in that process, I teamed up with a very talented artist to provide a fun companion coloring book. Each page reflects a different scene from the story, a key scene, along with a relevant scripture verse. These verses are in the coloring book alone. You will not find them in the novel. The brilliant illustrator who collaborated with me is here in the studio. But I'm also joined today by my occasional co-host and everyday wife, the beautiful Dana Siegel.
Well, I'm glad I'm the everyday wife and not the occasional. That's good. I'm
happy
to be here.
Yeah, you could be everyday co-host
and occasional wife. That wouldn't have sounded quite as good. No, I'm really happy to be here, especially for this topic, because Dangerous Christmas Ornament is one of my favorite books of yours, for sure.
And you're not just saying
I'm
that
not
as my
just
wife or my co-host.
That. No, I'm saying that as an educator, knowing what kids love, what intrigues people about stories, and what I've seen in children and teens responding to it, and adults for that matter. I loved it, and I'm a grown-up. But just the fact that we're here now with Ray is just so exciting, because this came out of one of those situations where teaching in the church, there was just the children's pastor had a brilliant idea to include a coloring page, and that was the beginning of this.
So we had some experimental coloring book pages a few years ago, and I just loved
them. They were fabulous.
Captured exactly, just the looks on the faces of the characters captured exactly what I was
Yes, about. And we didn't know who the author was at the time, but since we have met Ray, and then the idea came about to expand on that and make a coloring book companion for the entire book. And I am thrilled to be able to offer this to people because I know how much the book has been loved. This will be a great addition, and kids I know will love it. And teens, for that matter, when you see Ray's art, it definitely covers multiple ages. So I'm excited about this. I'm excited to talk to Ray and introduce him to our audience.
Let me introduce Ray right now. Ray Christensen has been a graphic artist for over 30 years. His artwork ranges from technical drawings and advertising to caricatures and cartooning. His unique comic style brings humor and fun to challenging truths that children and young adults face. Ray is a lifelong San Diegan and has two children. Ray Christensen, welcome to our program.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Now, let's just start off. Do you draw for a living or for a hobby?
I do my artwork actually as a hobby. And Dana mentioned that I was doing these coloring pages through church. And it is the ministry that I kind of was able to develop there. Mm. And so it is something on the side, but I still have my hands in doing artwork in my real job.
And your real job is?
My real job is I am known as an IT specialist, actually, for the Southern District of California. I help federal prosecutors with their trial exhibits, and sometimes that entails making demonstrative exhibits, charts, and things like that that are presented to a jury.
Does that include drawings also?
Sometimes it does. Actually, in a civil case that we had, I did actually do some artwork, some cartooning that was used
in a case. Yeah. Wow. How interesting.
It was the only time because civil cases usually don't lend themselves to humor or
those kind of cartoons.
So I did it once.
Okay. Now, sometimes on TV, when they talk about a trial, it's customary in the news to show some kind of drawing. Have you ever done one of those things?
The courtroom sketches?
Yeah.
I haven't done that. I've thought about that. You know, maybe when I get
you
done.
You would be good at that.
That might be fun.
Now, how long ago did you develop a desire to be an artist? Was this as far back as being a kid or was it recent?
Yeah, the inspiration really for being an artist comes from, believe it or not, my dad's nose.
Really?
That's right.
Is your dad still alive? Is he
he's not.
Right now?
Okay. He's not.
But you will need to explain that comment.
Well, so as a young man, look, my dad got into some kind of trouble at some point and broke his nose. And so it didn't really probably get the kind of medical attention that it needed. And it grew into this big, if you can think of a big Indian chief with that big protruding angular
kind of
nose.
Cyrano de Bergerac thing.
Not quite the pointy at the end, but more, you know, burgeoning at the bridge, right?
Okay.
Big hook nose like that. And that was like the most interesting thing in my life is to look at that. And so I really
you didn't
practiced.
See it as a negative. You just found it interesting.
Yeah, no. It was like, you know, because nobody had my dad's nose like that, you know, and so I would practice with that. And that's kind of how I got really into doing things.
And how old were you when you were doing that?
Oh, probably 7, 8 years old.
See, I
I'll have to
knew
go
it.
Back now and look at some of the noses in this coloring book. I'll be looking at them from a whole different point of view.
Well, and that doesn't surprise me. Having been an educator for 36 years, I could often see in kids special gifts and passions and talents that they had, art sometimes being one of them. So it doesn't surprise me in the least. We often hear that at a very young age, students kind of take on something like that, as Bob did with writing and creating. He was doing this in elementary school. He'd walk around the playground and recite scripts and plays and make up things in his mind.
To myself out in the yard instead of playing baseball and looking like the class weirdo, I should say.
No, and now here he is, a published author with 14 long, full-length plays to his credit and all kinds. So, yeah, I'm not surprised. That's awesome to hear.
What attracted you to the cartoon style? I really love that. I've always loved comic strips. And being a writer, I always wished I could draw my own comic strip, but I couldn't draw my way out of a wet bag. So it's exciting to see my characters in a cartoon style. I know it's not exactly a comic strip, but it looks like that in a lot of ways. What attracted you to that style?
Well, one of the things about the style that I have was that I looked at coloring pages and coloring books that most kids or Sunday schools provide, and they were very simplistic. Now I understand.
Yeah, they are. Yours are far more creative.
Mine are a little bit more than that, a little more depth perception and that sort of thing.
The expressions capture everything. The expressions on the faces, even of the cat, they just capture everything.
And that's part of the thing is that when I do a drawing, I like to convey what the thoughts of several people might be at one time. So I might have a scene, and in your book, I followed your examples of what you wrote about what they should be thinking or looking like. Some of the other cartoons that I've done, they have reactions of what a particular group of people might think. They might agree, or they might be angry, or they might disagree with what somebody is saying. As some of the cartoons that I've done with confrontations with Jesus, you know, what sort of reaction would different groups of people have? And I incorporate that in so that people can identify, yeah, I would be in that group. I don't believe that at all. Those sorts of things.
And I think that's an incredible gift to be able to, because I appreciate art and I can do basic things, but to look at something where I know what was in Bob's mind and what he was doing, because I'm so familiar with the book, so I know where he is. I still don't have the picture necessarily that he had, but then when I would read what he gave you and thought, you know, kind of this is what I think would work here, and then I would see what you'd come up with. I could not believe how you captured everything, even the nuances of what Bob was thinking. And then when we'd look at them, he would notice things that that you had captured that he didn't even realize would be such a powerful piece in it. And I think that's just such an incredible thing to be able to capture on their faces or their expressions or in their body what is going on.
And
I don't even know how you do
it. In the novel itself, we used a completely different artist.
Yes.
And I like that too because
we hadn't met Ray yet.
It looks like, well, no, but I like that artist too because it looks like classic children's literature illustration.
Mm-hmm.
But I gave instructions to that artist to not do a lot of drawings of the people, more of the places, because I wanted the reader to imagine what they looked like. So some of the characters you see from the back of the head alone. And I like that. And that's what you'll see if you read the book. But boy, Ray just captured the characters perfectly. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited to have both versions of illustrations for this book.
And like anything, you know, a lot of these characters, you know, that you describe are people that I've had in my past, you know, when I was young and I think of the guys who were bullies in school, you know, they had a certain look about them, the upturned nose, the crew cut, the freckles and
you captured all that. 100%.
Yeah, it was really great to see. And each one I was getting more and more impressed as we were getting your work. Cause I just thought that is incredible to go from something written and an idea in your mind to being able to produce it. And Bob's a very particular writer, artist in his mind, and you just nailed it every time. Bob would just look at it and go, oh my gosh,
I couldn't have been more impressed. We'll be back with Ray Christensen. You're listening to The Bob Segal Show.
Bob now at 888-344-1170. That's toll free, 888-344-1170. Bob may have strong opinions, but he also likes to hear what you have to say.
You're more beautiful.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. This is Bob and Dana Siegel, joined by Ray Christensen. Dana, you had some questions for Ray.
Yes, I wanted to ask, I'm just curious, did you study to do this? Did you go to an art school, or is this just an innate talent that God's gifted you with?
I did not go to art school.
Oh,
my goodness. I had some art classes in high school.
Wow.
And I learned some other techniques. I have other types of drawings that I do that are not comical, not cartoon, which I've done in the past. And there were some guys in high school that I really admired the sort of thing that they could do with just pencil. I tend towards black and white stuff because, believe it or not, I'm actually suffer from a little bit of color blindness. This is sort of.
I found that very interesting. We were talking about doing the cover, which was going to be the only thing he was going to do in color. And then he told me he was not completely colorblind. But so.
No, I mean, it's not that I see everything in shades of gray, but sometimes skin tones are difficult for me because, my eyes can't see properly. So I could never retouch photos with Photoshop or anything like that.
Right.
But,
okay.
But I can do comics because I can get relatively close. The computer will tell me when I'm in the range of certain skin tones and so forth.
Okay.
But that's kind of the idea that the reason why I came up with the idea of doing coloring books is I can't do the color. Let the kids
do
the color.
Let the kids do it. Exactly. I think that's perfect.
Exactly.
That is
so
perfect.
Self-taught and incredibly gifted by God would be where. So explain that process. I would assume that these were hand-drawn originally, but you say they're on the computer. How does that work?
They are. What I do is I have a sketchbook, and when I start doing a picture, what I'll do is I'll sketch it out with pencil in my sketchbook, and then I'll take a picture of it with my phone.
Oh, okay.
And then I can send that through email or some other form, and I can pick it up in the computer, and then I put it in as a layer. And then I have a laptop that's actually, the screen is touch sensitive, and I use a stylus. And using a computer program, I can draw the lines over my sketch. And it gives me a chance to kind of not do it twice, but keep kind of creating as I go along. Mm-hmm. So maybe my sketch is sort of rough, but then when I get it in the computer, I can firm it up as I go along. I can add more. I can reposition. Mm-hmm. I'm just not good enough to be like those guys at Disneyland that can do it. But the computer helps me to resize, reposition, and that sort of thing. But that's my process.
Well, and work efficiently, I would think, because if you're always having to redraw, that would be really time consuming.
Yeah, sometimes I can pick up from one drawing and what I call borrow from one drawing to another.
Right, right.
So that I don't have to always redraw everything.
That's incredible. So, I did not realize that I wasn't thinking that way. And they're so tight. And I know the audience hasn't seen these. They've just come out very recently on Amazon.com. They've only been available for a couple of weeks now. But when our listeners see them, I think they're going to be very impressed at, like you were saying, they're very sophisticated and complex compared to usual coloring books.
I know that children only see things a certain way, but I just felt like the little single line, and many coloring books are still this way. Some have the depth and the shadows to them, but I just wanted something a little more interesting. And I guess my artwork ranges more in the preteens and teens.
Yes, yes.
Area.
Teens would definitely love them for
because they can see themselves in there. You know, it's not just a little baby coloring book. It gives them a little more interest. You know, and when they're done, they may have their own piece of colored artwork. You know.
Yeah, definitely. But I can still see elementary age kids loving this too.
Absolutely.
They love more grown-up things too, and they think they're real spiffy when they can do something that is more sophisticated, like your drawings.
And when I can draw children, I make sure that the children look a certain way that young kids would think of, well, I wear clothes like that, I look like that.
Exactly. You definitely captured that for sure. And it's funny you should mention that you aim, you know, the drawings can be aimed more toward teens and so on, where they could really relate. Because we have a special event coming in a week and a half, 2 weeks almost, where we are going to have a chance to meet an adult coloring group. This is a coloring group.
It's an ongoing weekly coloring book class for adults, but they're sponsoring Ray and I to come in and promote the book and the coloring book.
It's going to be really great. And it is going to be at Skyline Church in the Study, which is just right off of the cafe. So if you go to Skyline Campus, upper campus, and go to their cafe, you will see us off to the side. This is a group that my friend Rachel Lloyd runs each week, and they do adult coloring. And so if any of you are interested in that, you are welcome to go every Thursday night. Rachel would love that. They have some, you know, food and nibbles, and they just hang out and talk.
Last year, I did a book signing at the Skyline Cafe and bookstore, and you brought the three coloring book pages that Ray had already made several years
ago. Oh, right.
And I remember thinking, you know, I love these coloring books, honey, but these are adult women.
She didn't think I was.
They ate them up with a spoon.
Yeah.
Dana had been, this is all the credit goes to Dana. She's been trying to get me to do a full coloring book with Ray for years now. And I think the light bulb went on in my head last year when I saw the women just grab her.
No, honey, you
were right. I was wrong. And I said that on the air.
Not just women. There were men there. There were men coloring, some of your good friends from class. So there were men there. There were older teenage kids
men
there.
Men coloring. I don't know if I can speak to them anymore.
And many of them were coloring. And there were a lot of them done. And so we just used the three that Ray had originally done for the children's program that Bob
and
did a few years ago.
Those three are included
in the book. They were the inspiration for this. And the first one you did was the Caligula, the cat.
Caligula, the cat.
Oh my gosh. When Bob saw it, he was just like, that's Caligula.
There's a talking cat in the book. If you've ever wondered what your cat would say if he could talk, or more correctly, there's an ornament that's like a wishing ornament. And this kid wishes that his cat could talk. And I based this off a real pet cat that we had that had a million expressions. I always wondered what he would say if he could talk. So if you're a cat lover, you will love this book.
So let me give the information on where this coloring time is going to be in a week and a half. And then let's do a synopsis on the Dangerous Christmas Ornament, just so that people know what it's about. So so Bob and Ray will be at the group that does this is called Color Me Crew. And it is at Skyline Church, December 12th. So in a week and a half on a Thursday, 6:45 to 8:00 in the study. So we will give you more information about that later on in the show.
And we'll give you more about the story of the Dangerous Christmas Ornament when we come back. And Dana and I have other things to talk about tonight, and Ray's been invited to join us. We're going to talk about our trip to Hawaii. And speaking of arts and Christmas time, I just have to say something about Hallmark movies. And so does Dana. And we're not going to be saying the same things about Hallmark movies. We'll be right back. Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480-539, W&S Electric.
People are enjoying Bob Siegel's time travel novel, Push the Winds Around. Check out these customer reviews on Amazon.com. This is one of those books, like certain movies, where you keep thinking about it long after you finished. Once I picked it up, I didn't want to put it down until I'd read the entire book. Literally, a page-turner. Every character came to life. Their personalities were well-defined and consistent. First thing I did after I finished the book was to ask about the sequel. The next customer said, I read this book cover to cover in one sitting. Great read with completely unexpected ending that left me wishing there was just one more chapter. Give yourself a couple of hours to read it all at once because you won't want to put it down. Push the Winds Around, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. Bob Siegel Show. This is Dana Siegel, and I am joining Bob today as an occasional co-host and his always wife. And then we also have Ray Christensen here, who is the very talented artist of the coloring book, a companion to The Dangerous Christmas Ornament. And we thought it would be a good time right now to just give you a little bit more about the book itself, because we've talked a lot about the coloring book. This book, and I know Bob is very modest about his writing. He's written many, many books. But this book has won awards. When it was first published, it won these awards: the Independent Press Award 2017 as a distinguished favorite, and the New York City Big Book Award 2017 as well, distinguished favorite. Those are both huge awards to read. It's also been named and highlighted in other places. Top 30 action adventure book for 11-year-olds. I don't know why they just said 11-year-olds. They did on both of these. This book goes from, we know, second graders that have been reading it to themselves, you know, all the way up to adults.
I was at a writer's conference, and I had already written the book, but I wrote the character as an 11-year-old, and one of the people there said, make him 12. That way 11-year-olds will want to read it, because they'll want to read about somebody older than
older.
So
brilliant.
That might be why they did it on that list.
I am not sure, but it also won an award for The Talking Cat, a favorite animal book in the top 30 for The Talking Cat. And we've already talked about Caligula for a bit. I do know that this book has been loved by many, many people, all different ages. Bob has shared this, as we were saying, at our church, which is how we got connected with Ray to even get to this coloring book idea. We watched those children read. There was the most precious second grader the year. Bob did a 3-week series that year on this book, sharing chapters and lessons that are important for us to learn in life. And this second grader would come up each week and tell Bob what she was reading and what she knew. And she was reading it to herself, obviously a very gifted little girl, because it's written, teenagers love it, adults love it. It has been performed on campuses. It's amazing. So it isn't just any certain age group. So Bob, can you give us a quick, you know, tell us in your author's...
Yeah, I do want to mention that I spoke on a college retreat one time and read the entire book.
Oh, yes. Tell them that one.
And I was going to stop on Saturday night and read the second half Sunday morning. They had already been listening for an hour and a half. They insisted on finishing that night. And these were college students. So
there you go.
When we say, I know everybody says, love by kids and adults alike.
That's really true.
This is about a 12-year-old named Mike Owen. It's told in the first person as if he's telling the story, and it's written as if a kid actually wrote it. And he has kind of an eccentric aunt named Aunt Lorene, and she shows up one Christmas with a magic Christmas ornament, so she says. And the ornament functions as a kind of Aladdin's lamp, but it has a unique twist. Each time a wish is granted, something bad will happen to another person who was with the person who made the wish if they happen to be in the same room or the same general area when the wish was spoken. So, of course, that sets up this whole chain reaction of trouble and adventure. And Mike, the main character, weighs his desires against the consequences to those around him. So he's learning a valuable lesson about choices and personal responsibility, but he's also experiencing nonstop adventure with extremely unusual twists. And nobody will guess the ending to this story like you would in a Hallmark movie. Just want to be
no,
very clear
we're not
on that.
At the Hallmark part
we're not there yet.
I'm just
giving them a preview.
Yes, that is true. Well, here are some of the comments. These are newer comments that have not been shared over the air, and they're not on Bob's website. But we have, our family loves this book. Last Christmas, our kids would get so excited after dinner when we would read another chapter and would beg us to read even more each time. What a great story. Thanks for taking the time to sign our copy. God bless. Brian. This one says, my Evie loves this book. That's from Valerie. Christy says, has the makings of a classic. That is not the first time we have heard that. We have heard that from several people, and I would agree. From Rachel, Bob Siegel, thank you for writing an amazing book. From Steve, fantastic book. Loved it. Great for kids and adults, too. There you go. Steve agrees with us on that. Second one, Inside the Castle in the Glass, is just as good and a great bedtime story. And then Teddy says, great book for everyone in the family. Kids love it, and it makes a great stocking stuffer. And we totally agree with you on that, Teddy. And now, not only do you have the book, but you have a coloring book that you can stuff those socks with as well this year. And I, since Steve mentioned Inside Castle in the Glass, I wasn't planning on doing this, but I do want to mention to our listeners that Dangerous Christmas Ornament is only the beginning of the adventure. Bob has gone on to write two more full
and the kids are older
full length. Yes, the kids,
they're in high school, and the next, it's a little deeper, a little darker. So I wouldn't say that all of them are for kids. Certainly the Dangerous Christmas Ornament, you would be happy.
And then the sequels definitely would be for early, I mean, like 12, 13 on.
Definitely
easy.
Middle school, yes. High school, definitely.
Yes, and those kids with the Dangerous Christmas Ornament go into all kinds of adventures that include time travel and just all kinds of just amazing things. Bob is so gifted in this. And again, I'm not saying that just because I'm married
to him.
Thank
you, sweetie.
Truly is
thank
gifted
you, love, love.
As a
thank
writer.
Thank you, Lammy Pie.
No, not those names. Anyway, so there are other books that if your kids do love this, they will be able to continue reading. And if you're a parent that's trying to get your kids away from a device and back into books, this is a series you don't want to miss. It's awesome.
Okay, we will end the shameless plug when we get back and talk about a few other things. This is Bob Siegel. As a Christian apologist, I hear scorning and ridicule all the time from Bible skeptics and unbelievers. Some churches will still respond to such people with love and understanding. Others do not.
You Christians are such morons. There's no proof that God exists, and only a pea brain would believe in miracles. Wake up! Step into the 21st century. Besides, Christianity is responsible for most of the world's problems.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Relax, my friends. That's not the kind of response you'll get from Skyline Church. We welcome you just as you are, with all your doubts, all your questions, and all your concerns. Your problems with religion are understandable, and I promise at Skyline you'll experience the love of Jesus Christ, not the revenge of a Sith Lord.
Skyline Church.
Christmas and my love for Christmas stories that inspired me to write a story of my own. In addition to the music and the decorations, of course, holiday movies have become part of our culture. Every year on this program, we air my holiday movie review program. We will do that again in just a couple of weeks. But tonight, for a few minutes, Dana and I want to talk about other holiday movies besides the classics such as It's a Wonderful Life and Miracle on 34th Street. Yes, I'm talking about Hallmark Christmas movies. Dana loves them. She watches tons of them. From time to time, we watch one together. Now, we do have different reactions. Hers being just a tad bit more on the positive side. I will concede that they are beautifully filmed with breathtaking scenery. They are also heartwarming, something we want during the Christmas season. And of course, we already know the ending to Home Alone, Charlie Brown, and the others. So it's nice to have original, unpredictable stories. Just one problem. Hallmark movies are neither original nor unpredictable. The characters change, the actors change, but the story is always the same. I would like to present to you a Bob Segal Show debut, my own outline for a Hallmark Christmas movie. Usually they have the word Christmas somewhere in the title. I'll put it in my title too. I call this a generic Hallmark Christmas. Here's the plot. Follow carefully. A big business tycoon, already engaged to a woman who also loves both business and the big city, is sent to a small town to help his company buy up the land and put in a new mega shopping center. This will involve many owners of charming stores and charming homes needing to sell, and it already looks like the town needs to sell to someone because the wood mill that kept their economy going for so many years has long since closed down. But should they sell this charming little town along with its special Christmas celebration every year will never be the same again. They will, for all intents and purposes, cease to exist. The businessman does not mind spending his Christmas working on a traveling project because he hates Christmas. At the beginning of the movie, somebody always hates Christmas. He poses as a reporter coming through town to write about their famous annual Christmas scavenger hunt. While here, the businessman meets a hometown girl in her 20s who helps her dad with the family bookstore. At first, she and the businessman do not get along. This is very important. At first, they do not get along. Why? Because later in the movie, they will get along. Not only will they get along, they will fall in love. Now, it won't happen quickly, mind you. After all, there's a two-hour movie to fill. Well, more like 90 minutes with commercials. But slowly, the businessman will become enamored with both the town and the girl. They will be teamed together on the scavenger hunt. He will not be revealing during this time that he's checking out the town for purposes of buying and rebuilding. That will happen later. But on the scavenger hunt, he will at least have a candid moment where he confesses that he grew up hating Christmas because dad and mom never got along during Christmas time. And there will be an awkward moment somewhere in the film where city boy and hometown girl start to get feelings for each other and quickly cover it up. There will also be a moment where somebody in town mistakes them for a couple and tells them what a nice couple they make, making them feel even more awkward. Late in the movie, their Christmas traditions will start to grow on him. Also late in the movie, they will almost kiss, but somebody will walk into the room and interrupt them before they get a chance, jumping Jiminy. At some time in the film, some senior citizen, probably the girl's widowed father, will have a profound heart-to-heart talk with the lad about things really important in life. You see, earlier he had concluded that this dude would be perfect for his daughter. Also, late in the movie, we have an ingredient mandatory to every Hallmark film, the big misunderstanding. In this case, it will be his old girlfriend who surprises him by popping in at an inopportune moment to tell him she decided to join him in this little town for Christmas. This big city girlfriend will also inform hometown girl that her newfound friend was only scoping the town to do major redevelopment. She'll be devastated. Here's a sample of the snappy dialogue. You were just using me. At first, maybe, but in time, I came to really care for you. In fact, I already called my boss and told him the deal is off. Honest, I meant to tell you, see, it's only the timing that's off. The big misunderstanding. Naturally, everything gets worked out. Not only does the guy stay, he uses his creative business sense to develop the town into a tourist attraction. He saves the town. He saves Christmas to boot. Of course, he marries hometown girl and sends city girl packing. Well, there you have it. You heard it here first. A generic Hallmark Christmas. Now, to be fair, there are some variations to these stories. It could be a big city woman who meets a hometown man. And the man could be helping with his mom's farm instead of his dad's bookstore. Okay, now I'll let Dana go ahead and give you her view of Hallmark movies. They're a little different than mine. So if you like Hallmark movies, don't turn the radio off. I think you'll feel better after you listen to Dana.
Wow, that was everything
then everything you've ever seen in a Hallmark movie, more or less.
Well, so in our house, imagine all of that that Bob just said. When we'd be watching a Hallmark, he'd be expressing these things along the way and making predictions, and that was fun. But then It got to be out of control.
Which I get. I was spoiling the movie.
Yes, and as a writer, I get it. He's a story writer. He's a creative story writer.
Well, I wasn't spoiling the plot.
Nobody can spoil
that plot. He's
very creative. But I watch Hallmarks to escape, to have a lovely break from reality, to know that it's always going to turn out okay in the end.
And I get that.
Which is why I watch them. So, and Bob does.
Life can be intense. In fact, even on this show, we do the news a lot. We're taking a break from the intensity even this week. So
yes.
I get that. We need a break.
So I watch Hallmarks for a different purpose than Bob does.
Bob's tell them about the new way I make predictions.
Okay, I'm getting there. Okay, I'm getting. See, this is how intense he is at home too.
Tell him, honey.
So Bob would be expressing his thoughts all through the movie, which you can ignore to a point. But then after a while, he just got to be quite exuberant. So we made this deal a couple of weeks ago that now when we watch Hallmarks, he has to text me his predictions and thoughts and whatever. And then it doesn't ruin the movie.
And then when the movie's
me.
Over, she reads them all. get the majority.
And then we count how many he got right and
The movie, her phone's ding, ding.
Yes.
She's going, the movie just started. You're predicting the ending already?
Within 5 minutes, he's already speed
typing.
And I'm
going, what ending?
Yes, I know. So I do, I know Hallmarks are redundant. I know they're similar, but that's a part of what I like is that I can count on them to not throw me a curveball when I'm just trying to relax. Plus, they do have spectacular decorations in their homes and the scenery and all. And you know what? My house will never look like that, but I love
Christmas. And because I love Christmas, despite how I feel about the plots, I enjoy watching them too. I will confess.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes.
We'll be right back.
it's common in today's uncertain economy to feel apprehensive. After all, the seemingly limitless choices in the housing market can look quite confusing. You might even know people who shared their difficult experiences with the housing market, sometimes losing money instead of what they had hoped would be a simple and profitable procedure. Well, here's the good news. Realty Executive All Areas here to help. Our track record is proven. Listen, since 1994, we've sold thousands of homes in the San Diego area. What may seem like an obstacle to you is just a challenge for us. We thrive on multitasking and achieving goals. When faced with opportunities or unique situations, our level of determination goes into overdrive. We're confident we can use our skills to attend to your personal needs.
You can reach my friend Fred Falduti at 619-719-7717. That's 619-719-7717.
Or fredfalduti.com. That's Fred, FALDUTI.com.
You've already heard some of the wonderful customer reviews of the Dangerous Christmas Ornament. But now listen to some highlights from a professional review by Lisa Ruth of Communities Digital News. The book is literally a page-turner that will delight children and adults alike. Readers will find a piece of themselves in Mike, whom Siegel portrays perfectly. He develops the 12-year-old deftly and makes him real to the readers. They will adore Aunt Lorene. They will remember their first love and the pain of betrayal from a friend. Caligula the cat is a wonderfully clever addition to the story. He steals the book with his caustic insight, making all readers wonder just what their own pets would say if they could talk. The real gift of the Dangerous Christmas Ornament is the lessons it weaves amid the adventure. It reminds us of the social and personal responsibility we share and the repercussions of our actions on those around us. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament has adventure, entertainment, and some extremely important lessons. What more could you ask for in a book? Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. This is Dana Siegel, and I've joined Bob for tonight. And we were just talking about Hallmark movies. And Bob just got a text from Hannah, who used to work here at KCBQ. We love Hannah.
I'm glad she's still listening to the show. Hello, Hannah.
Yes. Hi, Hannah. We're so glad you're listening. And I'm going to read her text. It says, I love Hallmark movies. They're horribly cheesy. That is so true.
Well, thank you at least for that, Hannah.
they just make you have all the feels, but they're totally predictable and all the same. So we completely agree, Hannah.
I have a question for you. And I do get, again, wanting something with a happy ending. But my stories, which you're always saying you like, do not have happy endings. They're not unhappy either. They're what I'd call bittersweet. But they certainly don't wrap everything up with tidy endings. I write them that way deliberately. So how do you reconcile that with saying you prefer something with a happy ending?
Because I'm reading your books with a different purpose. I'm watching Hallmarks to escape and get away. And to relax, I read your books for the story and the intrigue and the creativity. And I'm always amazed at the creativity. I keep thinking nobody can think of a newer thing to write in a book after all these years of writing. And yet you do it over and over and over. So I love your books because of the adventure and the unpredictability of it. It's
so
completely
that means
opposite.
Something written by someone else, it was unpredictable. You would like that too.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Yeah. Okay. But I do like Hallmark for a different reason. And one of my goals when I'm watching Hallmark is to look for ones that Bob will be a little tripped up on because they aren't predictable or they have different. And we just found one this last week, A Shoe Addict's Christmas. We would recommend that.
Still predicted about eight things that I texted you on your phone.
But it's a modern day
version. The
ones
that are magical and have Santa, then they can work in some kind of twist.
It's a modern day version of the Christmas Carol. And it is as clever as Hallmark gets, this is a really clever one. And it is cheesy, but it also is pretty creative compared to most of them.
I should say they made a very unpredictable one years ago, and it's in the Smithsonian Institute. So you can see it there.
Okay, whatever. I hope Hallmark's not listening right now. But anyway, I love Hallmark, just in case they are. All right, so before we close, because I know our show is coming to an end, I want to make sure that we let our listeners know again about this great opportunity to come and meet Ray Christensen, the artist for the new coloring book, the companion that goes to Bob Siegel's Dangerous Christmas Ornament book. They will both be joining the Color Me crew at Skyline Church,
which is open to everybody.
A week from Thursday, December 12th, and it will be 6:45 to 8 o'clock, and you'll be able to meet Bob and talk to Ray. It's going to be great. We will have copies of the book there. We're going to raffle off some of the coloring
and
books.
If you don't want a copy of the book, you want to come just to meet us, hear the presentation, you're more
than welcome. Just come to meet and chat, and we would love that. And so you go to the upper campus at Skyline Church and find the cafe. It's right in the front of the main building, and just off to the right there, you will see us. So we would love to have you join us. I am so grateful that Ray was able to come in, and this was a first published coloring book for you.
Yes, this is the first one that actually got some real publication.
Okay, and and Ray's been doing this for a while. It wasn't an accident that our children's pastor asked him to do this, because they had already had a relationship. And Ray's work is just incredible, and you have plans to have more coloring books come out in the future?
Right, because the beginning of this was doing the Bible stories coloring pages for the children's pastor. I gave her a collection of what I had, and then she said, hey, you know, Bob is going to be there. Can you do some illustrations from his book? So I have a compilation of several Bible stories coloring pages that I'm trying to put together into a book and hopefully release in the coming year.
That would be awesome. And I know
I hope you do a lot of these, because you're extremely talented. I really think this guy is absolutely brilliant.
I completely agree.
It's the most fun thing that I have ever done, is to, you know, put expressions onto people and have people see themselves, you know.
And I think that's what you captured. I know one page, I love all of them, but one in particular that just astounded me was when you did the angels. And you have them in there, and
they're sort of invisible, visible.
And I thought, oh my gosh, that's such a perfect way to do that, because, you know, my non-artistic brain couldn't even start to figure out how could you represent what was going on there, and you just did it beautifully. So parents, you definitely want to get this for your kids. If they have a copy of The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, this book would be wonderful. It's on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. You can find it just anywhere, or you can come Thursday, December 12th to the cafe at Skyline and pick up your own.
There'll be more details on my website. Yeah. Just go right to the front page of my website if you forget any of these details. It's all written right there, daytime.
Yes, and Bob and Ray could sign their copy of the coloring book, which would be a really cool thing.
You don't have to buy a book, but you will have to explain why with an essay if you don't want to buy a book.
No.
It's a short essay. It doesn't have to be more than one page.
No, Bob's just kidding. So please do come and join us. We'd love to just meet you if you've enjoyed The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, and we'd love to have you just come and share and just be there. I know it would be such a treat for us. So, Ray, I just am so grateful you were here today.
Well,
I know
thank
Bob
you. It's
is
been
too.
Fun to be here.
Good.
Ray, it was awesome having you. And Dana, you don't come on this show enough. Everybody always tells me how much they love it when you're on the show. And we never talk about politics when Dana's on the show, which would be a reason.
That's purposeful.
So she brings in another whole side of the audience.
I'm the Hallmark gal.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. No politics.
Okay. We'll see you next week.
The Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.